Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, the form and qualities of Bhagavan. In either case, however, there are three types of realization of the Lord. Right? So whether you're worshipping the Lord Mahima Jnana Rupa in majestic form or Keval Jnana Rupa in his pure form. Right? So in other words, the pure form here means it's just him as he is. It's not that there's another element that makes him attractive. Does that make sense? So Vaikuntha means you're worshipping God. You're attracted to God, but you're attracted to God because he's God. Right? He's the greatest, he's the biggest, he's the most opulent, the most powerful, the most all-knowing, the most everything. So that's why you're attracted. You know, if he was a little bit less, then, you know, someone else might be, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is that in the pure, or they're calling it the Kevala, is because it's in Vrindavan they're only attracted to Krishna for who he is as a person. His being God doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have, you know, some friends like of a big man. Okay, he's the prime minister, this or that. And so they're friends with him. They're attracted by his position, his power, his success, his, you know, does that make sense? And so they're friends. They may be good friends, and they're considered nice friends, and it's not that they're motivated, that they're trying to get something. Okay, if I'm friends with him as the minister, then I'll get something. It's just that they're attracted by his success. They like success. They're attracted by success like that. Then you have his mother. You know, whether he's, you know, sweeping the streets or whether he's the prime minister, he'll always be her son. Right? So it's about him as a person as opposed to what he does as an occupation. So God is what Krishna does as an occupation. Not that he has to do an occupation, but as he says, if he doesn't do an occupation, no one else will do an occupation. Right? So the only occupation that is the pinnacle of all other occupations is God, right? So that's what he does. Does that make sense? So that's the two types. So that's why we'll say that the Mahima Jnana, because Mahima means glory, it's his greatness, his majesty, right? So it's a very good position, right? It's just that that element plays very strongly in it. So because it's majesty, because it's greatness, therefore the formality, the rules and regulations, these are all the ways of expressing it. So therefore it's always Vaidhi. Right? There may be a little bit more restrictiveness or a little bit more looseness depending upon who they are, but it's still going to be through rules. Like Uddhava is a good friend. Right? Close friend and, you know, confidential friend. But still, the rules are the form through which it manifests, right? Well, Subal is a confidential friend, but it doesn't have those rules restricting it. Does that make sense? Because it's just the Bob; it just flows with the mood. Well, the other one, the mood flows through. You understand? So there's one slight step between just the pure interaction. And then there's the rules of the majesty as the medium. The other one is just the expression. Of course, it's going to follow a natural form. In other words, Kevala Bhakti has a natural form. But it's not that you're conscious of the rules in doing it. Does that make sense? Pure Kevala Bhakti has a natural form. All right? And so the expression of Kevala Bhakti has its natural expression. So it's not that it breaks the rules of that natural expression, it's just that rules aren't part of the expression. While in Vaikuntha, then rules are part of the expression. You know, you express through that formality. Does that make sense? It's just two different tastes, that's all. But the one is Kevala because it's just about the person. The other one is the person plus. It's not that one's the person or one's not the person. No, they're both about the person, but it's the person direct or the person plus something. Right? Now, so we can see it's basically, yeah. Means that the pious aspect of the material world is you follow the rules. Right? But it's not about God. Right? And then the more impious is it's all about just the feelings. But it's not about God. So that's why the atheistic immoralist is the lowest. Then the others, that means that those who are moralists, whether they're atheistic or theistic, then is higher because it's restricted, because it's the lowest. So what's the highest there is the lowest here. Okay? In either case, however, there are three types of realization of the Lord. Realization of form, realization of energies, and realizations of activities. Right? The eternal form of the Lord is called His Swarup. The qualities of that form are Aishwarya, Virya, Yasha, Shri, Jnana, and Vairagya. I think these are all, remember we were discussing the cult, Sat cult, what was it called? The six different opulences there that are in Shankarshan Vasudeva, Shankarshan Prajumna and Adiruddha. The Kalyana Gunas. Shad Kalyana Gunas. Right? So Jnana and Vairagya. Jnana? Because they're using slightly different names here. The Virya and Aishwarya, that was Prajumna. I would think Vairagya and Jnana and Vairagya would be Shankarshan, Yasha and Shri would be Aniruddha. Right, so those are what qualities he has. Vasudeva, when he performs pastimes, he uses all six. But otherwise, position is done on Jnana and Vairag. Right? It means your relationship, your situation is what is your knowledge, what is your, I think it was Bala. Yeah, Bala and Jnana. Material objects, does that make sense? So in other words, the form has these qualities. Now, depending upon which is manifest, that's the particular aspect of those four aspects of Krishna's personality. Right? Dhiro Datta, Dhiro Lalita, Dhiro Shanta, Dhiro. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Well, this will come up more as we go. That was just introduced before. It just makes it easier to understand that Shankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva principle. Okay. Material objects have a difference between the object and its qualities. But this is not so in the transcendental form of the Lord. Right? He and the qualities are non-different. Right? We see is that the Vedic, it brings those together, like even in the language, in the Sanskrit language, then the name and the activity that object does is the same. Does that make sense? Like a table. Then the verb for it means to hold off the floor, right? And then you just by grammar change that into a noun. So then that gives you the name. In other words, every noun is doing something, right? The column, you know, is holding up, right? So then the Sanskrit name is holding up is the verb. And then you change that into a noun, that gets you the name of the column. You understand? So, in other words, it's much closer that the form, the name, the form, the qualities are the same. But in here, it is different because it's dead matter that is what the form we see. Those qualities are actually separate. Because One's the internal potency, the other's the external potency. Right? So everything that you look at, the attractiveness and everything like that, that's the internal potency. But what you're actually viewing with the senses is the external. So we think it's the external that is the attractiveness, actually the internal. Does that make sense? Yeah, because if it's moving, that's because there's spirit. Something can't move without spirit. Right? Somebody says if he's very active, you say, oh, he's very spirited. Right? So that's there. Then that potency has then been managed by a demigod and this and that, and that, but it goes back to the universal form, to Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu and his consort, and that's what you're looking at. And then that goes back to ultimately gets to Krishna. So for the Vrindavan devotee, he sees Krishna. Krishna's making the wind's blowing and everything's moving so nicely, and the comfortableness, the coolness, all those things we'll see is Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Because we'll always take Brahman back to Bhagavan.
Yeah? Because there is only one energy, spiritual energy.
There's only one energy, there's the Surup Shakti. Which means the complete energy. That means that of all the energies, internal, external, and marginal, are all together. That's one energy, that's the Surup Shakti. That's why we make a distinction there, because then in doing it you have to be able to, why is it that the external and the external is a reflection and works exactly in the same mechanics, how would that work? Because you have two different energies, unless the source is the same as one energy. Does that make sense? Otherwise you'd get, just like Krishna has contradictory qualities, right? But they're reconciled in him. How would these how would the internal and the external function exactly the same? In the way of mechanics, not in the way of the eternality and the resulting experience you get. Does that make sense? You know, Mother Jashoda uses a knife in the spiritual world to cut vegetables. You know, here in the material world, you know, the mom in the kitchen uses a knife to cut the vegetables. Mechanics are the same. Effect is different. The eternal principle is different. You know, the basis in transcendence or in ignorance is different, but the mechanics are the same. That's because in a reflection, it's the mechanics that are the same. You know, you move your arm and the arm in the mirror, they do exactly the same thing. Mechanics are the same, but your real arm and the arm in the mirror, they have no comparison. One's real and one's just, you know, a reflection. So it says, why is there that consistency? Because they're both energies of the Surup Shakti. Right? Does that make sense? So that's all. But so the Surup Shakti then is referred to just generic, if you're just dealing in touch with the Surup Shakti. Or it's dealt to Radharani is called the Surup Shakti, and Yoga Maya is referred to as Surup Shakti. And sometimes the Surup Shakti is called the Chit Shakti. Like that. That doesn't mean of Sat Chit Ananda. That means Chit meaning Surup. Then you have the manifestation of the internal potency in which the whole spiritual realm is there. Then you have Satchitananda. Right? As the breakdowns of that. From the external potency or the manifestations of that Satchitananda becomes ignorance, passion, and goodness. Right? And then in between these two, then there's the jiva. Right? But the jiva is naturally an expansion of the internal. Is this from Satchitananda? They are the expansions of chit there, or you can say they're expanding from the Surup Shakti chit. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Material objects have a difference between the object and its qualities, but this is not so in the transcendental form of the Lord. That quality which regulates all other qualities becomes the predominating quality and receptacle of all qualities. The Shri, beauty and splendor of the Lord, although counted as a quality, becomes the receptacle of all the Lord's qualities. Thus, Shri is the supreme energy of the Lord. Right? Okay, that quality regulates all other qualities. So everything goes back to this quality. So Shri is the, I see, okay, yeah. This is the sixth meaning, this is the sixth, just to understand. Yasha is fame. Okay, so here's then Shri tree, in other words, beauty is the first one. From that, then you have opulence, then you have fame, then you have strength. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's why you see naturally in nature, nature has so many qualities. It's very powerful, or, you know, whatever quality, very peaceful, very harmonious, you know, whatever quality you may do, but it's always the present, it's always beautiful. But it's only when you add man, then you end up with a gutter. Right? But, you know, man makes a compost pile, throws all his garbage, come back after some time, and it's turned into nice compost. And again, various colors and everything's all happening. So, Shri is the one that regulates everything else. Right? So that means it's natural. Therefore, Shri, as the person, is the one who regulates, is the source, all the opulence. So therefore, then naturally the name how do you say? Lakshmiji is Shri. She is the energy that regulates the other. So then Shri regulates Bhu, regulates Nila. Yes.
Now, when you say it, but Shri Krishna.
Shri Krishna means Krishna and his opulence.
This is the same Shri.
This is the same Shri. So Shri Krishna means like that. Is you can say is Radharani and Krishna, or Shri meaning, you know, Krishna who has all opulences, headed by Shri, like Shri Vasadi.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So Shri Vasadi means Shri Vas Thakur, you know, all the devotees headed by Shri Vas Thakur. So all the opulence headed by Shri. You know, and then Shri is a person. You know, or you can say Shri Shri Radha and Krishna, meaning Radha and Krishna, who are all opulent with all opulences, you know, headed by Shri. So his beauty is actually the main, not his Aishwarya. That's why Vaikuntha, that's your next qualities now. Right? So beauty is there, that means you have all opulences, right? Because beauty, how does it come? It comes because of these opulences. Right? Yeah. Thus, Shri is the supreme energy of the Lord. This energy places all the qualities of the Lord in their proper places. The Lord's indivisibility, his supreme control, his unlimited strength, his infinite fame, his omniscience, and his ability to enforce all laws. So, through Shri, then everything is put into place. Right? Is that what it's called? So text 6. Jivato jatato vapi bhagavan sarvada pritak natao bhagavato bhinnao rahasyam idam evahi. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally different from the eternal individual souls and from matter. However, the souls and matter are not different from Bhagavan. This is a great secret. Means they're not different from him because they're all his energies, but he's different from them because he's that supreme personality. Right? So in tattva, there's no difference. But in rasa, he's independent. Right? Now you could say, well, the living entities are also individual from him. You know, so it goes both ways, so why put him in the prominence? But the point is he's independent, all others are dependent. So therefore, then you would put him as the one that's different. Right? Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally different from the individual souls and from matter. However, the souls and matter are not different from Bhagavan, right? Because everything is Brahman. This is a great secret. Bhagavan is eternally different from the individual souls and from matter. In the form of his potency, he has entered the individual souls in the material world. Unable to understand this secret, Vyasadeva, who had revealed and carefully studied all the scriptures, wept. Then Narad, who is a great devotee of Bhagavan, approached Vyas and taught him the four verses that are heart of Srimad Bhagavatam. That heart of Srimad Bhagavatam teaching is divided into four parts: jnana, vijnana, rahasya, and taranga. Right, so here rahasya That's your, what do you call it? Secret. Right? Yes. In other words, he is everything. Right? In the jnana. First, he is everything. Everything is within him. He was there before, he's there during, he's there after. There is nothing but him. Right? Because otherwise, then, you want to get rid of the principle to deify. Because that's the first thing the materialist generally does if they want to have faith in God or faith in anything divine when they're comparing it to the material world. You have to deify. Because otherwise, then any faults of the world, because they're the supreme and the origin, will fall on them. So you deify by saying, well, actually, they're not actually a controller. You know, so it sounds great that you've distanced them from it, but then the point is that how would that make them the supreme person? Right? So here, God doesn't control the material world, but, you know, you have this Beelzebub dude, and he is controlling it. So that means he's controlling something that God can't control. Right? Or you have to say God gave him it to control, but then what is the meaning of, you know, he was an angel, he went away, and he made trouble and started to took over here. You know what I'm saying? So as you go, each time you bring up this new explanation, it just gets worse. You know? As you're trying to relate, it just gets worse. You know? So here, his point is he is everything. Right? Then the next is vijnana, that realization. That means whatever you value, that's where you're going to see. Because otherwise, how do you see God in everything? You're not omniscient. You can't see everything at once. You only see certain things according to your nature. So that's where you're going to see it. You're going to get your realization. You're going to get your liberation from this material world by seeing God in everything that is what you can see. Because self-realization means what the self can see. Right? You're the self and you're working through conditioning. So what that conditioning can see, that's where you see God. Right? Not that the conditioning has control over. It's just that the conditioning, or that it's the actual medium. It's just the conditioning is all you can see. You know what I'm saying? Let's say a businessman, he goes into any situation you put him into, what's he going to be looking at? Money. You're going to see, can you make money out of this or not? What are the options? Or how is the person making money out of this? So that's all he's going to be seeing, is money. When he goes home, what does he see? Money. He sees the family, but it's going to cost him money. Or yes, I want to please my wife, so what does that mean? How much money I'm going to spend? Or, you know, so much trouble this family is. Why? Because there's so much money. You know, they walk around, they leave the lights on, they leave the air conditionings on, they leave the front door open, they do all these different things. You know, like that. It's just costing me money. I'm working hard and they don't care. Why? Because this vision is all through money. Does that make sense? So Kshatriya is going to look at dharmas, dharma being established. If Yudhishthira is the emperor, or he's out in the forest, what is he talking? Dharma. Right? Brahman will talk Shastra, philosophy. Shudra, it's all about his, you know, expression. You know, he's doing his art. He's just expressing. When he's with his friends, he's just expressing. You know, when he's at home, he's just expressing. You understand? So that's the whole point, is whatever your position, that's what all you can see. It's not that, oh, well, I can see whatever I want. No, you can't. You understand? You know, if I hand you, you know, binoculars, you know, I can see whatever I want. Okay, then look at the back of your head. You know what I'm saying? You can't do it. It only does certain things. I hand you a thermometer. Okay, tell me all the different colors you see. You got a thermometer. Go for it. The thermometer can only tell you the temperature. If I give you a color chart, okay, now work out how hot it is. No, the color chart will tell you what color the wall is. So, the conditioning means you have a certain set of senses that only see certain things. Now, that's not a limitation. You could say, no, but the soul's unlimited, or this or that, blah, going on and on and on, jumping up and down. But the point is it doesn't matter, because what are you trying to see? It's not about seeing the matter, it's about seeing spirit. The soul is spirit, you want to see spirit. So spirit's unlimited. You can see unlimited aspect of the spirit. A Brahman. That you can see in anything, everywhere. Because Brahman is important to the soul. That you can see everywhere, but what you're going to look at Brahman through is going to be what you notice with your senses. Yes?
Always in the
Yeah. He's unlimited, so that's what, like, does Mother just show to see that her son might be out with the cowherd girls dancing all night? No, why not? Yeah, because she's his little boy. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, just on the little boy principle, just to take that a step further. Okay, why is it he's a little boy, but the gopis are big girls, even though he's older than them? That's all. As soon as you're married, you're a big person. If you're not married, you're a kid. Right? Like in India. Someone's called a boy until he gets married. Even he's 30 years old, you know. He's finished his, you know, master's degree. He's set up his business. He's this and that. He's very successful. He's very wealthy. He has so many properties. But he's still a boy because he's not married. Right? It's just the way it works. And the gopis, even though and the gopis in mostly the pastimes that we hear about, you know, are you know, anywhere from 12 to 15 years old. But they're all married women, so they're, you know, members of society, you know? Well, he's just a kid. So naturally, as a kid, he's not going to be out, you know, doing anything weird. So that's how Mother just showed the season. Right? The cowherd boys. Is there anything that they, when they're around, when they see, that's not about doing, having some fun or playing or joking with Krishna? Right? Just when you're in Mother Jashoda's house, you kind of cut it down to what she's not going to get upset about. Right? It's going to be that. Are the gopis, are they going to look at anything other than how they could have a conjugal relationship with Krishna? And what's restricting that? Right? Right? The servants, are they going to see anything other than opportunities to serve Krishna? Right? Because prema is their vision. And that prema has a flavor. So therefore, the senses being engaged, you know, in the material world, of course, then my own sense gratification, self-centered sense gratification, is how I'm going to look at the world. Right? But I'll look through my senses. I have a particular kind. Gita says, due to the nature of the mind, then the senses group around the mind. So a certain kind of nose, ear, eye, like that. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, you have a person who doesn't have a good sense of smell. So they're not going to look at good or bad through smell. But someone who has a refined sense of smell, then they can appreciate God and good smell. Well, the other person is not going to dare. They're going to end something else, you know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. So that's that second one. Rahasya is then, now he is everything. You can find him in everything, you know, as Brahman. He is Brahman in everything. You can find him as Brahman in everything. He controls everything. Like that. It's because it's what it means. He's controlling this world means he's independent, but the point is for you, your karma, right? The world is controlled that you get your karma, right? But your karma is based on how you're seeing of the world, what you did with it. Through my conditioning and my senses, through the sense, obtained senses of my conditioning, right? I've done activities, so that means the situations based on my previous activities of what will come to me. And it's the situations that I can perceive. So who's controlling that process? That's Paramatma. Right? In other words, jnana is Brahman. Vijnana is Paramatma. Right? But then Rahasya is Krishna as a person is beyond these two. He is a person, means he's God, he does all this because he's entered everything. He's just, him being everything is just who he is. You know, it's just like a man, well, you know, you say you're everything, but are you your arm? Yeah, so what about the hair on your arms? You know? You know what I'm saying? I just keep going. What about the tip of the hair on your arms? You know, like that. Well, what about that with the hair follicle, you know, under the skin, because you can't see that. Are you actually that also? You know, it doesn't have any meaning to go on, well, is God this, is God, he's everything. So that means he is all the things. So that's just his state of existence. And that's why everything else exists. Right? Is that sense? But now the Rahasya is, he's a person beyond this. You know, it's just like you control your arm, right? Does that make sense? You know, you control the horizontal, you control the vertical, right? You know what I'm saying? That goes on. So him doing these first two, those are just natural states of existence and activity. But now why you control your arm, what you do with that, your interaction, what you would like to do with your arm, right? Because in the material world, then a small, very portion of the arm, you know, like we're saying, one tip of a hair, you know, all the materialists of the whole material world can play with, you know, and fight over. But it's like, what does he want to do with his potencies? Because all you're actually, you can say, no, but why? What does he want to do with here? What is here? This is just dead matter. And so dead matter is just supposed to sit there. That's what Krishna does with his dead matter. Dead matter just sits there. But then his potencies, other potencies, his opulences, then go are pervading through. So actually what's going on in the world is the manifestations of Krishna's potencies, of his opulences. Right? So in other words, Shri. That's what's going on here. So you see something, like, oh, what is it? You see something new. Right? You know, what is it? It's the fashion, you know, of it, that beauty of it. It's utility. It's shininess. It's, you know, element of the social position or social security. Right? Does that make sense? You're going to a program, let's say at some 5-star hotel in a tuxedo. Okay, now are you going to feel secure driving up in, let's say, you know, one of those, you know, fancy Audi things that, you know, runs off of I don't know what, like that? Or driving up in a Polsky Fiat? You understand? You're not going to feel secure. Because then people may have seen it. They may bring it up. People may not bring it up. They'll just know and just stay away from you. But you drive up in something like that, you know, a 12-cylinder Mercedes or a limousine or anything like that that has, so then you can be confident. You can get out. You can step out onto the carpet and walk in. Right? So I'm saying it has social, that security. Does that make sense? So these are all that we're looking at in something new, or what I'll get from it. Oh, I'll get so much happiness from this. Right? People, because you say, oh, why are you getting this? Why do you want that? And they'll give you a list of qualities. Oh, it's practical, or it looks nice, or, you know, that's so yesterday, or, you know, anything. Does that make sense? It's all going to be qualities. Yes?
The first opulence.
A little loudly. Because the span?
Yeah, the first opulence is Ashri.
Yes.
So the opposite will be
Ashri. Ashri.
Ashri.
Means loss, it means, you know, all the poverty, loss of bad luck. That's Ashri. Luck is Shri. Bad luck is Ashri.
All the bad things.
So Ashri means the potency of lacking of Shri. Just like darkness is just lacking of light. It's not that it's a separate potency. It's just the lack of. Okay? Yes.
So, we got... is Lord Shiva then the one who controls that energy?
No. That means Yoga Maya, Mahamaya will take care of that. In other words, if you're doing things that are pious, you get Shri. If you're doing things that are not pious, you get Ashri.
And is that Ashri from the very beginning, all these...
No, it means you cultivate it. Like, how does a businessman get money? Just happens, or he works for it?
Work.
Yeah, so therefore, Ashri, you have to work for it. You have to waste money. You have to not care for money, not take advantage of opportunities to use money, not give money in charity, only use it for selfishly. like that, not protect the money, allow others to just, you know, take it. You know, if your money's come to you, you're the guardian of the money, then it should be used properly in proper services. Now, if you let other people take it, you know, due to your negligence, then why you should have it. So all these are reasons for ashri. So in piety, you get ashri. Piety, you get shri. Now, if you want that shri to be transcendental, then that piety has to be devotional piety. It means engaging facilities and opulence in the Lord's service. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So all it is if you use the act, in other words, if you use the perfection, if you use the activity the way it's supposed to be used, which means what is the forms that are useful in devotional service, it's called piety. And if you don't use them that way, it's called impiety. So piety, you get facility. Impiety, you lose facility. But still, they're both material, because piety is supposed to engage in Krishna service. That's what it's for. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why it looks that way. That's why for the devotee, the same mechanics are there to get facility as it is for the karmi. Because facility is Krishna's opulence. It's not something separate. You know what I'm saying? The mechanics are the same. Like we said, Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are the same person. It's just which is the reflection. You know what I'm saying? If you have a person, does the person have a reflection in the mirror? Right? It's natural. So you have a reflection. Now whether it's manifest or not is another thing. But you have a reflection, or you have a shadow. Right? In other words, by having a form, you automatically have a shadow. So the Shroop Shakti, by having internal, automatically has external. Whether it's manifest or not depends upon the sun. Right? The sun's Krishna. If the sun shines on the form, what do you get? Sun, someone standing there, what's behind the person standing?
Shadow,
right. Okay, so that means when there's the internal potency, the sun shining, or Krishna interacting with the internal potency, automatically the shadow is there. It's automatic. It's just natural. It's not the, well, why would there be this? It's just that there's shadows, aren't there? So what is the shadow? The shadow is the lack of sun. That form with the lack of sun. Right? The sun's Krishna, right? And the form is the opulences. Then opulences without Krishna is the shadow, is Maya. That's what the material world's all about. The whole thing's very scientific, very direct. Everything's directly connected. There's no, well, maybe you're just as feelings, like we were discussing the other day. Many of your religionists, it's just feelings, and that's all they have to go with. But here, as we have feelings plus, we can explain it all the way back. Not just up to a point, and then you get, no, all the way back. There's a point, of course, where it's only by the Lord's grace. The thing is by the Lord's grace, it can all be understood. You know, to the capacity that a jiva can understand. It means 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair, only needs to know so much, it'll unlimited. But that much is enough. Yes? Okay, rahasya and taranga means everything is connected to the Lord. Internal, external, directly, indirectly, it's all the Lord. So therefore, everything should be seen through the mechanics of jnana and vijnana, but with the understanding of rahasya, that he's a person. So I'm doing the mechanics, dealing with the material world, seeing God and everything, but what am I going to do with that vision? I'm going to use that vision for pleasing Krishna, the person. That's the rahasya. So that's the secret of all secrets. It's already a rahasya to say the jnana and vijnana. Right? But when you're dealing with the platform of Brahman, that's not a secret. That's the secret that he is beyond. So from the material world, jnana and vijnana are the rahasya. And then rahasya is the secret of all secrets. Right? So it said here, Vyasadeva was unable to understand this. Therefore, that's the weakness in Mahabharata. Mahabharata perfectly summarizes all the Vedic literature, the philosophy, the culture, and all that. So by underhearing it, by living that, you'll live a perfect lifestyle. And there is the element how to connect it to Krishna. But because the prominence is on all the ways of understanding and utilizing the material energy. Therefore, the prominence becomes on the position of Varnashram and the cultural, and the philosophy may get secondary. Well, then Bhagavatam reverses that, makes that devotional culture and everything the primary, and then that application into the, you know, culture and dealing with the world as secondary. So therefore that rahasya is understood. That's what makes the Bhagavatam special. So it's not that there's technically different knowledge than in the Mahabharata. It's just the secret of the Mahabharata that has actually been revealed. That's why the flavor is different. Otherwise, the stories are basically the same. Any Purana deals with the same stories, just they may take different angles of it. Like Bhagavatam, you hear that Prahlad Maharaj is thrown over the cliff, right? And Nrisingadev saved him, right? In the Nrisinga Purana, you just know that you see it from the other side. Right? In other words, you see him from here, from the cliff, and throwing him over the cliff, right? So the one camera is there, right? Now, in the Nrisinga Purana, the other camera is down on the beach. And then you see that Nrisingadev takes the form of Varaha, because Varaha picks things up. And so Varaha then catches Prahlad, and then comes down and sits on the beach, and then there's a whole scene going on the beach. That we don't hear about in the Bhagavatam. That we hear about in the Nrisinga Purana. Right? But same pastime. So all the Puranas explain the same pastimes. So it's not new pastime. It's just different angles on the same pastime. Does that make sense? Okay. In the Jnana part, Bhagavan teaches, I am the only supreme truth. Before anything else existed, I existed. In the beginning of the material world, neither the chain of causes and effects nor the impersonal Brahman which lies beyond them were openly manifest in this world. Like Brahman's always there, but you didn't see Brahman here because there's no manifestation you don't see. Because Pradhan means it's just a homogeneous mix of all the material elements. It's just darkness. Like that. Right? Because there's no ignorance, it's not an unpleasant darkness. It's just darkness. When the material world is created, I manifest my potency, whatever exists, and then the material world is annihilated. Only I, Bhagavan, will remain. Right? So, nothing's there that you see in the material world. Only he existed. Then he manifests the material world, and that's him. It's made up of him. And then when it's annihilated, it'll still only be him. Okay, text 6. We just read text 6. Ah. Okay. Another on page 9, you get the next sentence of this paragraph and continuance of the paragraph. So we just gained half a page just in a moment. Right? Okay, so now halfway down the page, we just finished this. Only I, Bhagavan, remain, right? When the material is annihilated, only I, Bhagavan, will remain. Then it says, in this way, Bhagavan Jnana, knowledge of Bhagavan, is explained. Right? That's the knowledge of the Lord. In Vijnana part, Bhagavan teaches, I am the... So, Jnana, Vijnana, okay. I am the supreme truth. When the souls perceive only what is outside me, then they cannot perceive my true nature. That is because of the influence of my potency. Right, of Maya. That potency is called by the name of Maya. When it is manifest in spirit, that potency is called Yoga Maya. In other words, when you're only seeing the matter aspect of his potency, it's called Maya. When you see the spirit part of his potency, then that's Yoga Maya. So in other words, seeing the column, that's Maya. Seeing that the strength in the column is Krishna, and the form that the column, it means that you can actually manifest strength through this column, because the column is the form in the primary creation that Sri or Lakshmi takes. That's seeing the spirit. That's Yoga Maya. Right? Does that make sense?
Why did Krishna use the word Yoga Maya in the Gita to explain that we're covered, materially covered? Why did he choose to use that word?
Because all there is Yoga Maya. That you don't see it's Yoga Maya, that's Mahamaya. That's
generally we hear, we generally understand Yoga Maya is bringing us to Krishna, Mahamaya is taking us away from Krishna.
No, but it's the same person. It's just two different functions. Because in other words, what is illusion? Right? Maya is that which is not. So what is the illusion? The illusion is that it's not all Brahman, that it's not functioning in this way. So all it is that she makes it function this way as Yoga Maya. But then she also covers the jiva so they don't understand it functions that way, and that's Mahamaya. So they're actually the same person. Like that. Because now why is the living entity in this position? Because they want to enjoy separately from Krishna. They don't want to know Krishna. So that is illusion, because there's no such thing as anything other than God. It means if God is everything, there's no such thing as something that's not God. Right? So then therefore, then there's that capacity to cover the jivas so they don't understand it's God, even though that's all it is. Material world, that's why the Brahma body doesn't have a problem working, being here. The Maya body does, because he says it doesn't exist. Right? And then like Hume, there's a problem of falling through the floor because there is no floor. Right? But the world does exist and it's all Brahman. So in other words, the Brahma body is functioning on Yoga Maya, but he doesn't know Paramatma and Bhagavan. So that's all the farther he gets. But it is a position of transcendental realization. So it is an aspect of Shanta Rasa. It's not a full understanding of the personality, but at least it's like a glimmer of that. Now, because the living entity doesn't want to know God and will give trouble. In other words, if he wants to enjoy God's creation, he would also do it when God's around. But that's a disturbance, because the devotees want to do everything in relationship to God. And then you have this one person who's a loose cannon that just does anything for themselves. A party.
Party pooper.
A party pooper, yes. Yeah. So therefore the party is set up somewhere else. But it's made to look exactly like here. So it's the same potencies that run it. But you don't need, to create an illusion, you don't need as much potency. So then Lakshmi says, a millionth of a millionth. You know, you take 1/1,000,000th of her potency and take 1/1,000,000th of that, and that's all it needs to run the whole 1/4 of the cosmic creation, which we call the material world. Right? So how much is going on here? You can't even calculate it. Right? So that much is what's going on. So then that is there, and then the living entity then seeing all that, he wants to enjoy that, so therefore he's covered with that Mahamaya, so that he doesn't see that it's actually internal potency, and then that keeps him here and out of the real party. But the Lord, you know, because you don't want anybody to be out of the party, right, then the Lord comes. He sends his devotees, he gives the scriptures, he gives the acharyas, the gurus, the Vaishnavas, you know, the holy name, all these different ways in which all the party poopers can learn about the real party. But you can only go to the real party when you're qualified, and that means you'll be a member of the party, not still trying to do it yourself. So that's the meaning of then pure devotion means it's all about Krishna. And that'll get you out into Vaikuntha, but pure unalloyed devotion, that'll get you into Vrindavan, because then it's got to be completely about Krishna, not that you have a particular perspective of wanting to see God through that perspective. You know, it means separate than him himself. Like that.
So Prabhupada named the disciple Mahamaya. But we could use these words interchangeably?
On one level, yes, because Mahamaya is a devotee. It's just what she does. She is a devotee. Just when you mentioned that, somehow I came to New York at 74. You were going to come to India. And then somebody says, something came up about that this lady was named Mahamaya. And you know, you hang out with New York devotees, you know how they are. So then at least in those days, nowadays it's another thing. But you know, so then I said, Mahamaya, how do you get that name? And then the devotee said, Prabhupada calls him as he sees him. Typical New York answer, right? You know. You know. So So the thing is, Mahamaya is a devotee. There you get, you know, revelation of the pastimes where Mahamaya, because she's an expansion of Yogamaya. She's there before Radha and Krishna offering her prayers and all that and feeling very sad that her duty means keeping the living entities in illusion. But it has to be done, so that's what she does. So she's only keeping us in illusion because we want to be. If we want to not be in illusion, she'll help us like anything. I mean, Prabhupada's mentioning in the beginning, let's say the devotee is, you know, opulence is coming, facilities are coming. Because the service is going nicely, the preaching is going nicely. But Prabhupada's mentioning, if you're not on that platform of pure devotion, then Krishna is sending you these things through Maya. So Maya is bringing you, Maya brings the guy that comes along and says, you know, you guys seem to, you know, I've been watching you guys and you guys do nice stuff. Here, take this donation. And, you know, you think, okay, you know, guy gave me $20. And then you get, you know, go over the side and look, he's giving you $1,000. You know, this is Mahamaya. She's arranging it, right? Because all the facilities, when we look at it, we still see external energy. So it's Mahamaya. But when we see internal energy, then it's Yogamaya. The ultimate Yogamaya arranges it all. So it's just same person, two offices. Right. So therefore, technically, it's not a problem. Also, you know, she's known as Lalita. That's one of her names. Just means, you know, nice little girl, like that. So like that. But also Radharani, that's one of her 1,008 names. Is Lalita. Mahamaya is also one of the names of Radharani. Because she's Mahamaya. She, in the end of the day, she's as the Sup Shakti. Any manifestation of the Shakti is her. But generally you keep to the more positive ones. Because Maya, you know, will be considered a positive element. Like that. When you get into Bhadrakali, that's then you're using the negative. You know, in other words, the potencies are the lack of the positive. So then generally those names won't be used. But just, you know, the ones that are the prime, in other words, the superior qualities, those are Krishna. And so that will be his internal potency. So then Mahamaya is a proper name. If you understand the context. If you don't, then, you know, brahmacharis will joke. Like that. Yes.
In Mahasaya, when you say Mayapur, what Maya is?
It means the place of Yogamaya.
Yogamaya.
Yeah. It's
I was reading, I forget where, maybe it was Prabhupada he said Maya, the question was asked why Maya is bothering us, bothering devotees, and Prabhupada said, no, it's just for the demons. She has to be here to take care of them. But then the question would be, but she's influencing devotees, so it seems to be...
No, all that she's doing is, it's like this. You get it, I think it's in 12th canto. The 12th? Can't remember, 11th or 12th canto. Where it's being explained, no, I think it's 11th canto. Krishna's explaining that Maya, is her business is to protect the spiritual world. In other words, she being the prison warden, her business is to see that the living entities with improper consciousness don't get into the spiritual world. This is to bother Krishna. So all she's only doing all this stuff because we'll bother Krishna. Right? So for the demons, then they're fully engaged. For the devotee, then it's a matter of you have a material desire that's not in line with pure devotion, therefore if you continue in that immortality, then you would naturally be doing an activity of this world. But if you give up that mentality, then she doesn't have anything. She, in other words, she never offers you something that is not what you're inclined towards. You know what I'm saying? Let's say someone who never drinks. Other people are drinking in the room. Is it Maya? Is it an attraction? No, but the person has been, you know, successful, they've been at AA for the last 6 months and all that. If he's in a room where people are drinking, there's a problem. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that she's only offering what it is that you consider important. Like that. In other words, these aspects of vijnana, that you think are important to you on the material platform. But as soon as you see all those aspects of Vijnana connected to Krishna, she's the one that will recommend you to Krishna. Because if you see it properly, then she's there supporting you. If you see it improperly, then her business is to distract. So if she's only offering, just like let's say we say, you know, no more of this Maya, I don't want this anymore, then it's her business just to check. So all she does is, I don't want this anymore. So then she'll go, you sure? You wanted this before. It was very important. In fact, in the past, you were praying for this stuff. So you don't want it. Says, no. You know, okay. That's the generic. Okay, well, what about this kind? You know? No, not that kind. What about this one? You know, all the different, let's say there's 10 varieties that you were very interested in. She'll show you all 10 varieties. And if you say no to all 10, then it's okay, fine. It's not a problem for her. It's not that this idea that the devil comes in and forces you and all that. No, it's just a matter. She only offers what you have. And she'll only offer how much you can handle. She'll never offer beyond. Right? 1/10,000 the tip of the hair and 1/4 cause of manifestation. There's no, what do you call it? And there's a name for it in the fight, but there's no, it's not actually, I guess. Huh?
It's just fair.
Yeah, it's not fair, but it's a technical term for it. It's not like viable, or it's not. So it's no contest. That's it. There's no contest. It's just it's not going to. It's not going to. You know. In this corner, you know, the world heavyweight championship of the world. Yeah. And in this corner, you know, the smallest variety of ant. Like that. You know. It's just like, you know. Are you ready? Okay. Touch gloves. Oh, fight's over. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, the winner. You know, it's not going to go like that. Right? So the point is that there's no question. Sure, she only shows how much. You can think, no, she overwhelms. No, she only offers what will overwhelm. But she'll never overwhelm you. She only offers what you think was overwhelming. So in that way, she's favorable to the devotees because she's a devotee. But she's just, her business is to check, because then you have the element of pure devotional service. Because otherwise, if due to false ego, then you can also think, oh, this is so easy. Krishna is so easy to obtain, so Krishna is not that special. But then the devotees always think he's most special. Not because he's easier not to obtain, because he himself is special. Because he thinks he's easy to obtain. The feminine nature thinks anything easy to obtain is not special. Anything rare, that's what you want. You know? Does that make sense? You know, you could get it in Calcutta, you know, but there's always that idea, if you get it in the West, even though it's the same thing, it'll be better. You know? Because there must be some reason. Why is it in Calcutta? It's a foreign item. Why is it in Calcutta? Is it real? You know? So there's that idea that something harder to get is better. Does that make sense? So you're not actually even manifesting your own natural nature if you think that it's easy. So therefore, then she also is part of that process to make us aware so that we become serious.
So as long as we want Krishna consciousness, she's...
She's supporting, but that moment you don't, then she's right there as Mahamaya. In other words, if you're supporting, she's there as Yogamaya. But that moment you know, the material, you know, I wanders, then she's right there. Because why you wander, what is it that when the eye wanders, what is it looking at? Is it looking at the Brahman aspect? It's looking at the external potency. So that's Maya. That you think, oh, that external thing is attracting me. When it's, no, it's the Brahman is attracting me. So they can say, well, if it's Brahman, then it's okay to, you know, get involved. But then the point is, if it's Brahman, do you enjoy Brahman, or it's for Krishna? So if it's for Krishna, how is this aspect of Brahman used for Krishna? You know, so that means, well, okay, then I drive my Lamborghini to the temple to go to Mangalarti. So then, do I really need a Lamborghini? So, no. Because you can't stick any groceries in the Lamborghini. Yes.
You hear some cars that human entity, after going through millions or even billions of years suffering, or, well, having different bodies. Then he come back to human form of life, but he come back as also very conditioned, like the militia or even worse than that, and still continues to, and from there he goes back to another millions of lifetimes. Is that also, how do we take this?
Like, but what's the perspective that you're looking at this from? I mean, in other words, what do you want to get from looking at this aspect? You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'll look at something for a reason. What's the doubt here? Why is this a problem? What's the actual key point?
Well, the problem is that it sounds to me the punishment beyond any...
do you feel it's not fair?
It's not fair.
Okay, that's what we're trying to get to. Yeah. So all it is a simple statement that you know, that, how you say, have you ever, you know how gossip works? You understand gossip?
Yeah, they change the...
Yeah. Okay, so it's like that. It's that it just, and why does it, and what's the important element in gossip? I should tell you, if it's going to be real good, juicy gossip, should it be something you already know? Or should it be something you don't know?
I don't know.
Yeah. And should it just be an intellectual fact, or should it generate emotional feelings?
Emotional feelings.
Right. Okay. Now you're catching the... Do you understand? This is the key. So, this is the original statement. That the living entity is in his position. Okay, let's say he's there as, you know, Joe Malecha. Okay? And Joe Malecha, he does all the things that Joe Malecha does, right? He breaks all the four regulator principles and, you know, all these different things. And he's a bit of a slob and, you know, all these kind of stuff, right? Now, from that, he's done X amount of sinful activities. And those X amount of sinful activities have that certain amount of reaction. And that's all, right? Not more, not less. Okay? He ate one, you know, Big Mac double cheeseburger, right? Not two. So he's got the reaction for eating one, right? Okay? So then whatever hells he's supposed to go to and whatever species of animal life he's supposed to go through, all that's done. And when it's finished, now, you know, Joe Malecha's been purified. But then the point is what was Joe Malecha's desires? What did he want to be? You know, what was his conditioning? He's Joe Malecha because he wanted to be Joe Malecha. Right? So now he's put back in that same position that he wanted to be in. Now again, he's Joe Malecha. Now the point is did he learn anything from that? Is he okay? So now maybe he won't be as inclined. Maybe he will be as inclined. And then he'll just do it again. So it's just pretty straightforward, upfront stuff. But now, this is where the gossip part comes in. Now, if I take this and say, yeah, then there's billions of lifetimes of this and suffering and, you know, this and that, and however much they want to get into it, then he comes back exactly the same place or even worse, and then he gets worse and he gets that. And then all, what happening? All these feelings. Therefore, you think, this is not fair. So it was good gossip. Otherwise, why do you think it's not fair? Otherwise, it's just. How much sin he did, that much he gets a reaction. He did no sin, he gets no reaction. It's just standard justice.
But then the question would be, the process of karma is so he learns, but it doesn't seem like he's learning. So
it's slow. It's just like this. You know, you have the typical thing is, you know, you put something there. Like I remember seeing the Mahau training. We had a male elephant at one time. Very small. I think he was only 3 years, a baby. Elephant, really small, you know, it's just like 3 feet tall, really cute little thing. And then you had the South Indian Mahout. He was one of the top Mahouts in South. And he was teaching him how to put a garland on somebody. Maybe it's a little bit more than 3 feet, maybe it's 4 feet or something. So you have the garland, and he has, you know, one of those, you know, like Radharani's garland, one of those fat, nice, but short garlands, you know. And he holds the garland. He's sitting in front of the elephant. He holds the garland up, right? You know, at a certain height. The elephant naturally picks his trunk up, grabs the garland, and then goes to swing it into his mouth. The mahout whacks him on the trunk. He drops the garland. The mahout picks up the garland, holds it exactly the same place. The elephant grabs the garland, swings it towards his mouth, the mahout whacks it, he drops the garland. And he does this all day, every day, for days. And after 5 days, then this elephant, then I remember, I forget who came, you know, some one of the big muckas came, and that elephant went over holding a garland and put the garland on that person. But, you know, there may have been hundreds of times that take the garland, go to sleep, and then I get whacked. So that's the point, is that's however long it takes, that's the way it is.
Does it take that long for everybody?
Well, elephants are, how you say, being predominantly kapha because of their memory, I think. Then they might be a little slow in catching somebody, but once they got it, then they know how to put on a garland forever. Elephants never, I mean, when they say they never forget you. They really just don't. He told one story of a mahout. They were going, because every year they take these elephants through this course, you know, in Kerala, from one place to another. And they'd walk through the jungle. And it's, you know, and Kerala just means coconut trees. So when they were going through, then there was this one coconut tree was lower, so the guy, you know, got the elephant, got the coconut, and then as they're going along, because the coconut, the shell, he banged it on the elephant's head to open it. And then, you know, ate the coconut, you know, while they're walking. The next year, when they're walking through the same forest, the same elephant, mahout, when they got to the exact same tree, the elephant pulled a coconut off the tree and banged it on the mahout's head. Like that. Now, that's an elephant's memory. They don't forget anything. Right? So, the point is, yeah, so that's why it says, you know, millions of lifetimes, or thousands of lives. So generally it talks about thousands or millions. It's just you do the same thing, and after thousands of lifetimes, then he moves, you know, from a Shudra up to a Vaishya, 1,000 lifetimes up to a Kshatriya, 1,000 lifetimes up to a Brahmin, 1,000, it's slow. But if it wasn't slow, living entities would get bored. And could you imagine a universe full of bored living entities? You know? That would be bad. You know, like that. You know, it would be like if the whole universe was West Side Story. You know, that would be bad. You know, I mean, the main problem is where do you get all those dumpsters? You know, I mean, where's the factory to produce that many dumpsters? You know, for the whole universe. You know, that's gonna be a problem. No? Yes?
So now we've come to Krishna consciousness.
Yes. So now it's a matter of, this is the fast path. The other one's called the slow path. So even though the piety is there, everything, the knowledge is there, it's slow because it takes thousands of lifetimes. This is the fast path. So you can do it as quick as one moment. It's you never see a mention of becoming fully God conscious in quicker than a moment. So that's generally, you could take it as the standard, you know, shortest time. Because that, the nimisha, or a moment, is the shortest amount of time that you can observe something. 1/11th of a second. You know, that's basically, that's what you, in your normal dealings, 1/11th of a second is how quickly you can notice things like that. So that's all the quicker, that's, you know, all the more it needs to be. Technically, you could do it quicker, but you don't observe it quicker than that, so there's no need to. Like that. And then you can take, you know, as many lifetimes as you want. But generally, the recommendation that Prabhupada's giving, because in Kali Yuga things are bad, he recommends one life. Go for it. You know, in other words, go for it. You know you can take, but why would you want to? Because you can get distracted. Sometimes I've heard householders say, no, but you know, it's this and that. And, you know, so next lifetime, be more serious. But how do you know you'll be more serious next lifetime? So Prabhupada's point was, be serious this lifetime and go. So it's been, though, in others, like the Pancharatric line, it takes 14 lifetimes, I think, to go back to that. So all those different positions that Gopakumar was in, Those are all the Pancharatra positions. You know, you go through those, and then like that, then you gradually make your way up until you become Brahma, and then from there, then you go to Vaikuntha. But for Goloka, you don't have to work with that formalized system. I'm not sure if the Ramanujas use it, but I know the Madhvas, they talk about it.
What about this idea we hear? Is it just a rumor that when you're going back to Godhead, Maya comes, says, hey, you haven't seen this, you want to check this out?
No, that's it's not that. It means you have, it's not that you haven't seen this. It's a matter of, as you're going through, then you see the universe. Right? And so the point is as you're going through, then as long as you're focused on Krishna, you just keep going through. But if you go, wow, that's nice, then they'll put you down there. That's why you want to be really focused on Krishna. And as we see, as Gopakumar goes, that's within the universe. But as you're going through the layers, when you get to the last layer, Mohini is in charge there. And so she's doing a puja and all that. And it's nice. It's because it's pradhan. So it's that really, really pleasant, comforting darkness. Right? She's doing her puja and all that. She says, oh, here, well, you want to come and do puja with me? Like that. And if you say yes, then, you know. But if you say no, then you just, that's it. Then you go out.
If Lord Shiva couldn't control himself, what about us?
But that's Rudra. Sadashiva then means, in other words, where you see he's getting affected, that's Rudra. Where he's not getting affected, that's Sadashiva. Because you hear both examples. The Prabhupada, generally we focus on the Sadashiva aspect. But if we're comparing it to the potency of the devotee and all that, then Shiva might be used in that where he can be also. But like, is that what it is? Yeah, because Yogamaya is a person. I mean, Mahamaya is a person. You just see her as a devotee of Krishna, then she deals as Yogamaya. But if you see her as something to enjoy, she's Mahamaya.
It seems that, as you're talking about the Grihasthas, you know, next life, this and that, it seems like...
I've only heard it from Grihasthas. I've never heard Brahmacharis talk like that.
Yeah, but devotees or bachelors, they talk that way also.
Oh, I haven't heard.
So it seems inherent within that consciousness is like, okay, I've got as far as I can go. This is about it for now in this life. I don't really have a stronger desire. I can't do much about it. It's just...
Yeah, it happens. Prabhupada mentions that. There's a purport where he says sometimes a living entity just gets tired of pushing. You know, just that. Because you get a result from endeavor. And so they just want to relax, but they don't understand it's when you relax, then it goes backwards. It means your devotional credits won't be lost, but your material facilities then goes back into karma, what you deserve. And so then it can slide the other way, so the consciousness might become affected. That's mentioned in Brahman and Vaishnava. You're either moving forward or backwards. You can't. There's no such thing as neutrality. You throw a ball up in the air, how long is it neutral? It's just a moment. And then it goes the other way. So if you're neutral towards Krishna, then it means you'll be going away from Krishna. So that's why we put so much focus on that dynamic, being focused on Krishna, because it's from the Brahman platform that you either move forward to prema or fall back into the material. Because it said you can fall from the Uttama platform. That means the Brahman aspect of the Uttama platform, not the prema aspect. You can't fall from prema. But from the Brahman or Paramatma, you can. Like that. So that's why we distinguish all these things, because they have meaning now, but they have meaning later also. So sometimes you say, well, what has this got to do with, you know, we just chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, so if you just chant, that's great. But if you're making a distinction between my chanting and my real life, that's where you need to understand the mind of Paramatma. Because this real life, what is real life? It's an illusion. The dead matter is not your life. It's the internal potency in that dead matter, that's your real life. But you don't see it that way, so that's Maya. So you can't call that reality. Well, I just got to get back to reality. Or, you know, it's nice being, you know, all, you know, all this theory and all that, but, you know, life, we have to be practical. But practical what? The potency of money is coming from those pieces of paper or something, you know, it's like that, you know, because it's got the face on it, that's why it's got potency or something. You know, something that Pope's using that little smile or something like that. You know, it's just like a Mona Lisa, but, you know, the whole Pope sees that wry little smile. You know, like that. You know, so is that where potency, so, and the notes, that's why everybody does it, because it's got those little faces and they got those little smiles. No, it's that Krishna's potency of economics is in that flat note. You know, because you know, another, like in Africa, it's about cows or about pots. One tribe who has the most pots is the wealthiest. You know, so you know, it's all different. It's a potency. That's all. So it's an illusion to think that there's such a thing as practical life. Practical life means simply being practical about your interaction with the yoga maya. And if you don't see it in that way, then you're a Mahamaya, and then it's just illusion. So what's so practical about illusion? You know? It's straight philosophy. But one doesn't have to worry, because as it said here, even Vyasadeva wasn't understanding until he was given the Chatur Shloki by Narada. Now Narada got that from Brahma, and Brahma got that from Krishna. When he heard the Vedas, he understood all the Vedas, then he asked Krishna, what's the essence of all this? What's the actual point? Krishna then gave him the Chatur Shloki. So the Chatur Shloki is the essence, how you see everything else. If you start with that, then the vision will be very different. You know, then it's not just a matter of so many aspects of Krishna consciousness you memorized. And, you know, it's keeping your faith going, and it works in your preaching, and this and that, but sometimes you get stuck here and there because there's no connection between these two, so you bring up something from a different angle, you can't catch it. But here, this is actually how it functions. Everything in our philosophy functions by these four slogans. Everything in the culture functions by these four slogans. It means our philosophy is these four shlokas. And then the important aspects or details of this is the dasamur. Because then that is breaking it down into the principles that now you can understand of the how to apply these four shlokas. You know, so in other words, the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. The first one is sambandha. It means the first two are sambandha. The last one is Prayojana, the fourth one is Abhideya. So the Sambandha is Krishna is God, he's everything, and you understand him through what you can see. But he is a person, the goal is beyond that as Sambandha. And the process for realizing Krishna as the person is to be able to see him all through those things that we mentioned there and directly through those aspects of direct acts of devotional service. Okay? So that's Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So Dasamula is just more detailed Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Breaking it down into defining God, defining the living entities, defining his energy, and defining the difference and non-difference. Like that. Then the philosophies, then it's complete. Does that make sense? But with that vision, then everything can be put into its place, and you know the relationship between one, which one's in a more primary position, what's secondary, like that. Otherwise, then, the problem is the natural material tendency is to put secondary in front of primary. Like theistic moralism. Theistic is a, how you say it? Would be a pronoun, not pronoun, an adjective. It means your morality is theistic, or your morality is atheistic. It's not theism. With morality, because theism includes morality. But this is, all it is you've added theism to your morality. That's why you make a distinction between the devotee on the fifth platform, he's automatically moral. So that's why it gets a confusion and discussion when we say bad things about morality as a platform. Then people think, oh, you're promoting immorality. No, it's that we're promoting God consciousness, not morality. So those who promote morality over God consciousness, that's mundane. But God consciousness has to be primary. That's why morality. Therefore, even though Yudhishthira is glorified his whole life, and Krishna appreciates, everybody appreciates, though there's that one point where Krishna shows he's more important than the morality. So that's the thing. So Yudhishthira took that. Right? He accepted it. Right? And so therefore you get two interpretations. Right? One is because he did lie, that's why his chariot touched the ground. The other one is because when he was asked by Krishna to lie, he didn't at first, but then agreed afterwards, that's why it touched the ground. So you get both opinions. That means the book itself mentions that, depending upon the angle, it means, in other words, for the moralist, it'll be the first one. For the spiritualist, it'll be the second. You know, it's just like, you know, why did Moses go into Israel? Because he balked when God said, you know, say the name. First time he said, you know, hit the stone with the rock. I mean, with the staff. And he did it and water came. But the next time, then he said, don't hit it with, you know, he says, now use the name. But instead of that, he had faith in the staff because he had done it before. So he hit the rock with the staff. And the God, you don't have faith in my name. So that's why he didn't go to Israel. You know, so you do have these elements that one has to know what's primary and what's secondary. So moralism is never primary. For a materialist, it may be. But for a devotee, it's always secondary.
If you want money, then you want dharma to give you money.
It means you have to use dharma to get money. But dharma is the natural lifestyle of the devotee, because dharma is varnashram. Right? But you use that in Krishna's service, so it becomes sad-dharma. Because sad-dharma is using the natural aspects of means engaging your nature in God's service. That's sad-dharma. So you're applying that to the conditioned dharma. So then varnashram and sanatan dharma, daiva varnashram and sanatan dharma are the same, because the mechanics are the same. Mother Yashoda uses her nature in Krishna's service. It happens to be spiritual. Here, you use whatever your conditioning is in Krishna's service. So mechanics are the same. The principle is the same. Though, she's working with internal potency, we're working with external. But the principle is the same. So that's what we have to catch. So that's why we can use sanatan dharma, dharma, religion, all as synonymous. Or at the same time, we can separate it off. So religion without Krishna consciousness, then that can change. Because then it's not sad-dharma. Sad-dharma can't change. Dharma can change. Right? Because accepting that there's God, that's everything should be done for him, that's the main principle. But whether you do it as a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, that can change. So it's just a matter of understanding the fineness of the definitions. Then one's not bewildered by the external. In other words, if you can see the internal, then it doesn't matter the external. Like if you're looking at the potency of strength in these columns, it's not that all the columns are doing that. So it's not that that's this column, right? What about that column? No, it's the same. And that one over there? But that one over there is smaller. Is that also? You know what I'm saying? So that's much of the time you get when you present this philosophy. Well, what about this? What about that? Because the external is being seen, not actually that internal potency that's being made. So that's the thing to gain. That's the unique thing that Bhagavatam adds to the Vedic literature that no other Vedic literature has. But once understanding that, then when you look at all the other Vedic literatures, then they come into their perfect position. So for us, we don't have any problem that all the Vedic literatures are perfect. Because we see it through the Chakshu-shloka. So when we say Chashta-chakshus, we mean through the eyes of Shastra, and specifically through the eyes of this Chakra Shloka. So then it becomes very easy. So, yeah.
What about the sentimentalism in God consciousness?
What about the sentimentalism? What do you mean by sentimentalism? Sentimentalism then would mean that, see, if you put an ism behind something, then it becomes pranamoy. Right? It means, what about sentiment in God consciousness?
Yeah.
Or being overly sentimental?
Does it cause problems while being in the God consciousness? That is one question. Another thing is, I think being on the morality generates sentimentalism, and that again, kind of materialism basically. But I'm more inclined to hear from you about the role of sentimental feeling.
What's the role of sentiment in Krishna consciousness?
In Krishna consciousness.
Because we're people. People have minds. Mind means sentiment. So naturally sentiment is there. The point is that that sentiment's not based on the philosophy, then it's a problem. Krishna says, philosophy without religion is mental speculation, and religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or fanaticism. So the mental speculators fight with the religious fanatics or the sentimentalists. Right? Does that make sense?
So
in other words, if they have no philosophy, they'll either be conservative, religious fanatics, or liberal and sentimentalists. And that'll always be opposed to the jnanis, who are just mental speculators. So that's what you have. These are the teams in the material world. So Krishna consciousness means you understand the philosophy, and as a person you understand it, so it's applied personally, so therefore naturally sentiment is there. It just means, what's the purpose of the sentiment? Devotee means you have feelings. If you think Krishna consciousness means no feelings, you know what I'm saying? That's not what it is. Sometimes devotees take it that way. Or I remember one question one devotee was asking was, okay, the point is not to sense gratification, but if I situate myself in a service according to my nature, I'm happy. And so then wouldn't that happiness be against Krishna consciousness? So wouldn't it be better I do a service I don't like to do and hate doing? Because it's selfless. You know what I'm saying? So this whole personal element is not understood. We're people. You know, it's not that God wants us to suffer and that makes him happy. It's the opposite. When we're happy, God's happy. But the point is material happiness doesn't make the living entity happy. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you have somebody who's a very good friend. He gets involved in taking, let's say, heroin or something. Okay? Now he wants that heroin and he says that heroin makes him happy. But you're seeing him. You knew what he was like before and you're seeing him now. And he's not at all happy and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So by you trying to stop him from taking the heroin, then he'll think you're getting in his way and not his friend. But actually, you're his friend. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Just a little question about Chateau Shloki from Bhagavatam and Chateau Shloki from Bhagavad Gita, the same.
They'll have similar, yes, they're basically talking the same elements, but there's, because this is preliminary aspects, then it's showing the practical application of those.
In Gita.
Because the point is the Mahabharata has to be more on the cultural, the more practical application.
Yes.
Because you're dealing with those who will be attracted by the cultural element. It means
yes.
Who will tend more towards the sentiment and less towards
yes.
the philosophy.
Yes.
Well, then the Bhagavatam brings it into that proper balance.
Yes.
But unfortunately, second canto is generally one of the least
yes.
read cantos. I think second, fifth, and 11th. And 12th, I guess, just gets left because it's just so far at the other end. Yeah, the first, you know, third, fourth, you know, sixth, seventh especially, eighth, ninth is not, you know, but it's, you know, tenth is the popular. Yes?
What about the question of why Krishna didn't expand only in the eternal policy? So we
will be
not suffering for the jiva, so
we're
suffering for
Krishna. No, but why is the jiva suffering? Let's say like this. If I put you in a room with some water and food, and you don't eat the water and food, are you going to suffer or not? Okay. Now, you have someone else who's recommended. Okay, there's little nicely written little papers that are stuck on the wall that says, you know, eat this, drink this, eat, drink, and be happy, right? You know, like that. You know, because if you don't, you're going to die, right? Okay? So, like this, then it's there. And then people come in the room and recommend about eating and drinking, but you don't do it. You don't feel like it. So, your hunger, your thirst, you don't connect that your hunger and thirst is coming from not eating and drinking. Your lack of energy is coming from not eating and drinking. Your mind not being the focus nicely is all coming from not eating and drinking. You think it's something else.
But this is coming only in the soul. Like,
it's so small. No, here. It's just what I'm saying. What is the point you want to get at? What do you feel is not fair? You know what I'm saying? Let's just get cut right to the chase. Not all the things around it. What exactly is the thing? You know what I'm saying? You know, there's the candlelight. There's the, you know, the red checkered, you know, table things, the things, the little, the, you know, candle, all these different things. But what's on the table? You know, yes, the fancy, you know, what is it? Is that one, I think, Japanese or whatever it is. That's it. Porcelain, it's considered the top, some Namaguchi or something, you know, like that. And you got the silverware, you know, one fork's $100 each. You know, you got the whole thing. Okay, crystal glasses, you know, the whole thing. But what's the food? You understand? So you have all the explanation, but what's the actual point?
I think I understand the question. What is the point of of this material world be manifested in the first place?
Because you want it. Happiness comes from free will. Right? Let us just use an example, maybe crude or maybe not. Okay, now, the brahmachari is in the temple, right? Temple commander is telling him what to do all day, day in, day out. There's, you know, 365 days a year, right? Then he just wants a little bit of a break. He just wants to relax. So then what's the concept? Grihastha life, you're independent. Grihastha life, you can enjoy, right? What's it? When we talk about brahmacharya life, do we talk about happiness and independence? No. But when we talk about grihastha life, then there's that concept of independent. He's an independent grihastha. He's, you know, therefore that's the platform of happiness. Right? Yes? No? Okay. So, therefore, there's that idea that at independence is what's going to make you happy. So therefore the material world, you can exercise your independence and become happy. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the bottom line, it's your choice. It's nothing else. You can't blame it on God, can't blame it on, you know, taxes or, you know, El Nino or, you know, whatever it is you want to blame it on. You know? The recession, right? You know? You know what I'm saying? It's just you've chosen, that's all. And then if you say, why does God give the choice? Because you're a living entity. You're part and parcel of Him. He's supremely independent. You're going to be minutely independent. You want 10,000 the tip of the hair independent. That's who you are. So say, God should have made us differently. Why? Because if the living entity goes back to Godhead, he's supremely happy. So he's not thinking, you know, it sure would have been better somewhere else. You know, it would have been better with a lobotomy or something. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So it's all that, you know, we're suffering. It can't be my fault. The first thing to accept is I'm here because it's my fault. And I'm suffering the way I'm suffering because of me, nobody else. You can say, well, this one did that and that one did this. That's just your karma. They're supposed to do that. Because last time you did that to them, so why won't they do it back?
You like the religious concept, for example, Krishna. Enjoys more through Nitya Siddha or somebody who is very close to him. So why in the first place he made this?
Because it's a choice. Why is he a Nitya Siddha? See, are you distinguishing here between internal potency and jivas?
Internal potency.
Internal potency is made like that. That's what they are. But now, as you mentioned, you have a person. The sun shines on the person, and you get what? A shadow. Okay. Now, is there a point where the shadow and the person meet?
No.
The shadow is coming along like this, and the person is standing there. Is there a point where they meet? They touch? Is there always a gap between you and the shadow? There is, you've been taking a bit too much peyote.
It's attached.
No, yeah, it's always attached. Yeah, that's right. You know, you've got to watch that mescaline. Okay? Yeah? So, the point is that they're attached. So that point of attachment, that's the jivas. And because they're right there at the point of attachment, they can see both. That's their choice, which one they want to take. The internal is internal. They're not going to do something else. External is external. Maya is a devotee. She's already made her choice. The internal potency are devotees. They're doing what they're doing. The jiva, they have the opportunity. So since they're in between, that's marginal. What's the marginal position if we're talking in positions of consciousness? What's between prema and materialism? Brahman. So therefore, our position is we're that Brahman that's in between prema and material Brahman. Prema Brahman and material Brahman. Does that make sense? So that's that position, what we call liberated or this or that. So that stage, you can either choose to come on, because you're on the edge. You either work with this or with that. You either work with the person or with the shadow. You don't work with the person, you've automatically chosen the shadow. You decide to work with a person, you develop prema. Then you only work with a person. It's very simple. You made the choice.
But it seems inherent within that question is, why couldn't I be eternally liberated? I ended up as a jiva.
So it's not a matter of ended up as a jiva. It's not that you are a living entity. Well, where do we put this guy? It's a matter of we are that from that potency. That's just who we are.
Why couldn't I be?
But what? But the point is then. Okay, you're not, but you know, okay. You know, okay, I got it. So, yes, we'll be the internal force. We'll have been internal force. Let the goys, let them all be, you know, let them be the marginal potency, you know? Like that, or something like that. Come on, we're the chosen people. Why couldn't we have been internal potency?
I mean, why someone else is internal, not me?
It's not a matter of that. You can't say that because then you're saying I'm an individual separate from the Lord's potencies. No, I am from that point. It's just, that's who you are.
Why is there an external potency?
Because there's a shadow. Because there's the sun on the form. You have the masculine and the feminine, you create a shadow. That's all. It's just the mechanics, the way it works. Because the point is this. So what does it mean? Bottom line of that line of thinking is, that means I don't have to work. God should have made me, so I'm already God conscious, so I don't have to make the endeavor. But then the whole point is what's pastimes? Pastimes is endeavor. So it's not about what position you are, because in the spiritual world they don't make a distinction between Jiva Brahman, internal potency Brahman, and Krishna Brahman. Right? It means everybody works together. So, yeah, so that's not the problem. The problem is that this is just where we're placed. This is just who we are. We accept that's who we are, then we can accept I'm servant of the servant of the servant. Because then the point is then, so we look at it that way, from that aspect, but if you look at it from the position of this happiness from social interaction, then being at that point, then the happiness is greater. Krishna is the center, but then Radharani, her happiness is greater because she sees Krishna happy. But then the Astasaki, she sees her happy, so they're more happy than she's happy, which is more happy than Krishna's happy. The maidservants, they're assisting them. They see them happy, you know, seeing Radharani happy, seeing Krishna happy. Now, then there's the assistance to those, you know, that's basically where, you know, we come in. So as farther back you get, the happier it is. So if you look at it from that way, we're only looking at it from a condition, so this is a problem. But when you look at it from, you know, from work in the perfect planet, then it's better. You know. Glass half full, half empty. Which one do you look at, you know? It works both ways.
Yeah.
But the point is why are they happy? Because they're interacting. So interaction, there's no question of non-interaction, because when you say, I would have been made that way, then we're talking about, I would have been made that way. That's not including our nature of knowledge, activity, and the happiness there. We're talking about sat. Right? So then that's, it's actually a question of sat, which means it's the question of existence, which means it's the question of liberation. So in other words, it's one that's sparked by karma. I'm so pained by jnana. It's one that I'm so pained by karma. Why couldn't I have been that I didn't have to go through all that? So in other words, it's just a more refined question within the frustration of the material world. So it's coming from the desire for liberation. Like that. So that's why it along with everything else has to go. So pray, pure devotional service. So that's why all these fine points are made, so we can see where. Because we'll say, no, I'm mainly this, but then you see like that. Oh, that's okay. That's the aspect of karma that I have. I say, everybody, so many others have these aspects of jnana. I don't have those, but I have this one. But they don't have that one. They have another one. You know, they don't even get to the point of why was I made this way. It's just, why am I suffering? Why can't I just stop the suffering? You know, why? I've taken up Krishna consciousness. It's a religion. It's supposed to give a good result. I'm supposed to be happy, right? So then that's the karma aspect. Or, I just want to be freed from all the suffering that's here. My life is so miserable. I just want to be freed from this. That's jnana. But it's just based on the direct emotional feelings that are there. This one is, you're thinking about it. Well, I'm the soul, and I made this world. Why am I like that? So it's a step further. You're taking it a step further and going, hey, wait a minute. You know? But it's the idea is that one just has to go beyond. This is who we are, and as soon as you accept who you are, make things life very easy. It's just like, let's say you're sick and you don't know why. So when the doctor explains to you exactly why you're sick, you feel so much better. You're still sick, but now you know what to do. So when we accept, we're just jivas, this is the way we are, then it makes it so much easier. Okay, so then it's all about choice. So then I just determined to make the choice that in every situation I'm in, I'm connected to Krishna. All the situations, all my thoughts, all my knowledge, all my endeavor, all the happiness, I just connected to Krishna. And then you're transcendental. And then it becomes easy. And then,
Can I digress slightly?
Okay, we hit the wall. Can we just step back a bit? Get a broader spectrum of the wall here, What about that brick?
No, this is actually different. You said something yesterday. I mean, it just reminded me of something.
I always get worried when someone said, "You said." Yeah, and then there's always a gap. You said. They go, "You said this." It's, "You said." And then there's this gap. And then, I sit there, what did I say?
Then we paraphrase. Well, I didn't actually say that. It just made me think. It's a very nice point you were making about how a devotee is always happy. When you were saying remove, and I was thinking how a devotee, if we give him backwards, he's happy when someone else is going to Krishna.
Yes.
And in being on the internet, we inevitably find people who are not happy, but other people are close to Krishna. And you were.
No, really?
And you were.
And next, you're going to tell me that there's websites dedicated to this kind of perspective.
They're the most prominent about Krishna consciousness. You mentioned that the other day. I forget the context. But you didn't elaborate on that.
There was probably something absurd.
But I was thinking, okay, so what's the tattva? What is it, jnana karma? Or there's another tattva for those who just hate it when someone else becomes Krishna conscious?
It's just envy. It's jealousy. See, that this is how you tell the difference. Jealousy, though bad, is still can be progressive. Because jealous is like this. He has a position. I also want a position. So he worked hard, got that position. I'll work hard. I'll also get a position. Like that. So that's jealousy. So jealousy means, he's got a fancy car. I'll get a fancy car. So it just keeps going. So there's natural progression. though the element of passion is there. But ignorance, I mean, envy is from ignorance. He has some position. He should not have that position. I should have it. So you destroy his having the position with the idea that somehow or another, so-called, because he doesn't have it, I'll have it. And it's just like, if he doesn't have the money, I'll have the money. No, if he doesn't have the money, it doesn't mean you'll have the money. If you were supposed to have the money, you'd already have the money.
But isn't it, it won't be fun if I have the money unless he doesn't have it.
That then you can. That's even taking it a step further. That's the just the generic that you just don't like. That then you actually personalize it. So that's actually getting worse. But at the same time, as it is personal, then you do have, even though it's harder to get through, more to work with. If they're just generically envious, that's very hard to work with because it's impersonal. But if it's just a matter of, it's a specific person or individual. You know, why him? You know, we joined together, or I made him a devotee, and now he's the big guy, and I'm just some schmo. He has all facilities. Nobody cares about me. You know, like that. You know, he travels around the world. I can't even get it together, you know, to take a bus, you know, to the Rath Yatra. You know, this is unfair. You know, so that kind of a thing is then it's personal. So you have the element that the personal aspect is some, from that side you can come in and kind of get it. But the impersonal, unless they can catch the philosophy and then from the impersonal come out, it'll actually be harder. Even though it's not as, how do you say, vehement? Is that how you say it?
What's the word?
Vehement.
Yeah.
It's not as strong. The generic is not as strong. Though you may have an individual who's very strong, but it itself, because it's generic. But as soon as it hits a person, then it can become very pointed and very strong. You know, it means envy is one of the things that Lord Brahma created. Envy, illusion, madness, fear of death, all those ones. Without those, then material life doesn't go so well. Because it's destructive. It's not progressive. It's said, no, but if we get rid of all this, then we can move forward. No, it's ignorance. Ignorance can never make anything work. No, you have to... The point is, this is the situation. What's the plan to actually make it work? And to make it work doesn't mean you get rid of something that the Shastra recommends. There's supposed to be authority. There's supposed to be leadership. If you're against all that, then you're actually against Shastra. Then you're against, actually, you're against spiritual. So all it is you just want to be the leading, you know, central individual in the material consciousness. It's not spiritual. I mean, they'll use spiritual words to try to make it. But it's 100% mundane. It's not that points that they find may have some validity in that there may be an aspect that mechanically is not going right. But as far as their consciousness and perspective, it's 100% wrong.
So Ritvikism is born of the mode of ignorance completely?
Yeah. Because otherwise, why do you have to have that mundane connection with the Acharya when they're not present? When there's a present Acharya that you could so easily take its shelter of. Because you're thinking it's about the person, not about the potency. Prabhupada, as his position, the founder chart, he carries the maximum. I think Sridhar Maharaj gave the example. Prabhupada's like the Ganga, while other, you know, preachers and gurus are like small streams. It's the same water, but the volume. You know, others preach, they get a few disciples, they get something. Something's going on. They're pushing forward Lord Chaitanya's mission. But they're saying what Prabhupada did. Go out around the world, open centers all over, make thousands of devotees, make this dynamic mission that on its own it naturally expands. I mean, we had 108 temples in Prabhupada's here. We have like over 600 now. You know, temples, farms, this, that. Then we have on top of that all your gatherings and non-hatha elements and like that. So you're talking about thousands of entities here. You know? And so that's expense. So who's done that? So the point is that potency, that's like like the Ganges, that's glory, that's something special. Now, all gurus are special, but this is amongst special. Therefore, the Adi Guru. So that potency that is coming down through the Adi Guru. So they can't appreciate that. No, it has to be, it's the body, I'm connected to Prabhupada's body, because that's what Diksha does, is that you're connected to that particular form. because otherwise that's what you see. You may or may not see the spiritual. You have an indication. That's why you come that way. But you don't actually necessarily fully appreciate it. That's why the diksha. If you fully appreciate it, that would be on the Bhagavad platform. There would be no ritual. You just hear the instructions and you take them. And then on the internal platform, they're always there. The Pancharatra is considering the temporary nature of the conditioning. So therefore, it has to be someone who is present at the time.
But if it's on the Bhagavad platform, then how do you get the diksha mantras if you don't take diksha?
You only need the Gayatri mantras to give support to the holy name.
So how do you get them then? You have to...
You don't get them, because if you're on the Bhagavad platform, what the hell do you care? And so that they care shows that there is the material platform. So it means they can't have their cake and eat it. That's the point. The materialist wants everything, right? It's like that decal on a car I saw in one of the gullies in Vrindavan. It said, "All I want is everything." That's it. That's all. I'm not asking. I'm not being unreasonable. You know, it's not a big list. So that's the point. It's just mundane. Otherwise, why would one be attached to that? The point is that then you're denying parampara. Then you're saying the potency of the parampara doesn't flow down through the parampara. And then, if you take that, if we want to actually get into, let's say, pure Ritwik here, why Prabhupada? I mean, I've always been, let's say, attracted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'll be a Ritwik disciple of Bhaktivinoda, but someone else, but Vishwanath, Rupa Goswami, he's the head of our line. This is, what do you mean, we're not messing around with this? Because, you know, within our line, people accept like this and that, but outside our line, the other Vedic lines, they don't. I'm taking initiation with Lord Brahma, you know. Why is it just Prabhupada you can do it? Why not anybody? Why, you know, others, you know, are strict brahmacharis and, you know, heavy, hardcore, so we're taking for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. No, but I just like to sit and do my bhajan and all that and stay out of the way, you know, don't like all the social, so I'm taking for Kishore Bhajan. You know, it's just, what is it at? Why, now they'd have to explain why it's only Prabhupada.
Prabhupada never said you should do it. That's their...
Prabhupada never said that they should do what they do. Prabhupada said you use the books of the main, letters are subordinate. They're taking, you have to show them a letter that contradicts it. And that's contradicting Prabhupada. I don't buy that they're even disciples or devotees of Prabhupada. I'll take it that far. They're not even devotees. If they stand on this to that degree. They may have some inclination, they have the Bhakti Abbas, but they're not connected with the Son of God. Now if they're disciples of Prabhupada, then they've been deviated. And it's not good. And if they preach it, they'll get a very bad reaction for preaching. They sit in their own room and believe it. Okay.
They're so successful.
But if they're not, so what? So is Dale Carnegie. You know? So is, you can make a million materialists who are successful. So that's just the material prowess. The guy went to IIT. They're the smartest people in India. I mean, I'm not joking. They are the smartest people in India. And so you look at anybody who is his classmate. They're not successful. Dayaram was his classmate. He also knows how to make big money. Any of them that graduate from there, you just look at all. They're all successful. They didn't get into IIT unless they were the best brains in India. So that they have the best brains and that they do something with it, then that's because of Ritwikism. You know? That Ambanis, are they Ritwiks? You know what I'm saying? You know, the queen in England, she has tons of money. Is she a Ritwik? It's just nonsense. There's just nothing about it. It's just sentiment. The sad part is the ones that started it were philosophers. But no one was willing to discuss philosophically. And so they died out. You could convince them of the actual position. But they're neo-Ritwiks, these guys. There's just sentiment. There's no way you can convince them. Because they just don't want to be convinced. Because they just want to, I'm a disciple of Prabhupada. They just want that prestige because they can move with everybody else. Otherwise, before there was that feeling, if you weren't a disciple of Prabhupada, you were in the next generation. And they didn't like that. Because they were successful in this, they could make more money, they had better understanding and management than most other Prabhupada disciples. So why are they going to be in second class position? So it's purely political. And then if that's there, then who controls all the people in the temple? The temple president. You don't need a guru, you don't need the sunnah, you don't need anybody. So it's purely political. It's a political, economic position. You know, just like, how you say? Buddhism was for Kshatriyas, and Jainism for Vaishyas, or Ritvikism is for temple presidents. You know, it's like that. They're the ones that profess it the most.
So, practically speaking, once they do the Ritvik initiation, they become the guru and they're...
That means they're initiated by them, that's all. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, they're the one responsible. Now, how much Prabhupada appreciates that connection is another thing, but they're not Prabhupada's Diksha disciple. You can't be. If you Prabhupada was present, you took Diksha, you can be. That's the rule. It's only their sentiment. It means, it's like this. We went through all these apasampradayas. Now, do all those apasampradayas not think that they're following Lord Chaitanya's order? Each one of them thinks it is. Right? Prabhupada very clearly said when those Ritviks were there, when he had named the original 11, after he goes, then who they initiate will be their disciples. That was also 11. So why is it that's not valid and only this one, you know, what was it, here, two, there, after, whatever was the opening that TKG used?
When I say become guru, you become guru, and he never said, that's their line, he never said, that's their.
No, but he did. I saw the letter. I don't know what they're talking about. He already said before when he was working it out, because they said, now you're initiating on his behalf, because all it is because gurus do that. It's a standard, typical thing. Is that... No, he just said that then they'll be their disciples. So therefore, it established that they're their disciples, but their whole thrust was against these 11.
They're part of us as sutras. The Prabhupada said... Everything you said is true. He said, when I tell you to become guru, then you become guru.
But the thing is he said, after I leave, they'll be their disciples. That's already told. You know what I'm saying? Why don't they learn some English? You know, I know most of the guys are Indian, but, you know, learn some English. You know, like that. It might even be worthwhile to learn some grammar. If you want to be so dogmatic, learn the grammar. You know, it's not becoming that you're... You know, a grammarian, you don't know grammar. If you're going to fight over semantics, at least be good about it. It's just, the point, what I'm saying is pure sentiment, because there is no logic or thing you can present. There isn't any. They only throw that as a challenge to make it appear. If they said, this is what we think, we don't care what anybody else thinks, this is just what we feel, this is what we're going to do, that would, one, be honest. But it wouldn't look good socially. So they presented, no, here it is, go it out. You know, we'll give $100,000, and we can show this, that, this. It looks great. It's like the snake oil salesman. It looks great. He dresses up in a suit. He does this and that. He talks great. He stands up on the podium. You know, he has a good show. But it has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with reality. Because you don't see it used anywhere. And they say, Prabhupada can do whatever he wants, but that's not Acharya. Acharya, Abhidhuda is who does whatever he wants. Gorgashar, that's Babaji, he's the one who does whatever he wants. It doesn't recommend a Shastra sit in the toilet and chant your rounds. He did it. Now, Prabhupada's Acharya, that means they do what's recommended. Then by saying, oh, he does whatever he wants, they're thinking that they're giving that supreme independence. But that's deism. That's actually an atheistic philosophy. It's a demoniac philosophy to say, well, Prabhupada can do whatever he wants. He did it. It means that they don't even know what they're talking about in the Shastra and culture. Because Acharya means he sets the example how people should do it. That's just what it means, Acharya. Now they're going to deny that position because he's independent? It sounds good. Oh, yes, we can do it. It's a standard intellectual trick. Oh, yes, but, you know... I've seen it. Sahajas use that. Rupa Goswami goes, and he has it on his lip. It's bitten by a parrot. You know, that bite kind of thing. And then someone's seeing that, but he didn't get bit by Krishna. Radharani's bit by Krishna, but he was thinking about it, he was bit by Krishna. But then he says, but he could be bit by Krishna. Like that. And that's the main, that's the biggest of the Sahajiyas today, his commentary on that verse. He just throws it into speculation. All it is the service to Radharani is so good that whatever Radharani experiences, they experience. But he throws it into it. But maybe we could be enjoying it directly also. So that's just mundane. So there, that feeling, well, but it could be. It's just mundane. 100% material, just karma. But they want to enjoy it through spiritual. But that's originally what we had. That's why we put here. And if they're not careful, they'll be put in a lower position that they won't be able to make a mess out of this one. Right? You make a mess out of this place with Baba, you come here. You make a mess out of this, they'll put you lower. Because they're going to... Does that make sense?
So what about the people who come to their temple? What do they get?
Sad. They come in contact with Prabhupada's books, the holy name and this and that. With that pure understanding, they don't. You know, Upasampradayas are very popular. Most people don't want Shuddha Bhakti, so that's easy. If we look at it by material success, then that's not there. Prabhupada showed that for us, since material success is all we care about, then do something big for Krishna. Like that. Because that's all we're trying to do. So therefore, use that medium for Krishna. But if we use that as a judge on Upasampradayas, then there's way more, you know, owls, bowels, you know, Garanga Nagaris and this and that, than Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Bengal. So then by that logic, then we should follow them. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, what is it? Lady Gaga has like 50,000 people on, 50 million people on Twitter. You know, so she's more, so we should follow her. You know what I'm saying? So is that the weakness? Now, if we introduce the success element, now does that become the perspective we view it from? We can't. No. Prosperity is just one of the things that is there within the natural, you know, supportive lifestyle of a devotee. It's not the thing. It's not, it means pure devotion is the thing. You know? So if he's that successful and a pure devotee, great. But the point is Mr. Birla, I don't know if it was GD or if it was, you know, before him, said that I will give the money to build Mayapur, the city, the temple, the city, the whole thing. But he said, but it should be called Birla Nagar. Prabhupada said no. So this whole idea is that, well, he's got so much money, it could all be used for Krishna. He says, no, we don't want his money. It's bad money. You know, I think he was in Kenya. And in Kenya, there's one family there, the Rajasthanis, they run a distillery there. You know, distillery, alcohol, you know, the whole thing. So they're the big, some of the biggest, they're the biggest, you know, of alcohol business in Africa. So I don't know how they stand as how, if they're the richest in there. And I think relatives, they run the ones here in Rajasthan that are the biggest in India. You know, so they're, you know. So they gave a sizable donation to Prabhupada when he was there. But Prabhupada didn't, like he normally would, put it into his accounts that became the MBT and all those stuff. He put it into the Didi Hundi. Because it's just bad money. So he didn't want to deal with it. So if they want to deal with it, they can say, because he's getting it from piety or from his improper philosophy. So it means, where's the good? You know, if he wants to just give a donation to ISKCON, then you use it for something directly spiritual, and that's fine. But if it's, we have to take him along with it, and he's going to direct, then why do we need him? Because he hasn't said he'll keep his mouth shut and that's what he does. You know, it's fine. If you believe like that and you just do it yourself and don't bother anybody else, don't influence anybody else, and like that, fine. Hey, everybody can have their own opinion. But no, they're active preachers. That's why then you have to keep them separate. You know, it's like that with anything. But, you know, devotees associated with Gaudiya Math, and then the Gaudiya Math tells them things, they tell devotees, and then they get a particular understanding of Prabhupada in this position. Prabhupada just, it had to be cut off. It just can't happen. Someone has an opinion, fine, but if you share that, that's where it goes wrong. Yes?
was a great lady, and she demanded a great meal, and she told them all the things that she collected in the Navy. So that's when I said, okay, just give it to her. And the girl came up to the mountain and said, you know, these people, that's good, you know, they made me devotees, but I read from like books, and I don't think it's right. It's a great big philosophy, so I want to from reading from books, you understand that it's not right what they're preaching. So the first question is, what about people that are
if they're sincere, then they'll come this way. If they only want kind of some aspect of you know, connection, then they'll get that. Everybody gets what they want. But the problem, the sad part is not, it means everybody will get what they want, but the sad part is those who are innocent, that could go either way. Then if they go away from being convinced, then that's bad. But otherwise, if someone's sincere, then despite everything, they'll come around. You know, it's not like the devotees that came forward when Prabhupada was here, that their parents and friends actually wanted them to become devotees, but they became anyway. They didn't care. So, like that, you have so many that you know, go like that. The problem is they're too vocal about it, you know, so, because it's a social position, so it's not about be happy yourself. No, it means they can't be happy unless everybody else is that way. You know, just like, it's just like if I don't want to do something, let's say, I don't want to chant in the temple or something. So then I have to make a philosophy that, you know, there's no need to chant in the temple. So that way then, it's very common, basically. I mean, I haven't seen for some time, but I remember any kind of meeting that I was in, management meeting, you'd always, regularly, you have that aspect come up. Is there something specific? This particular devotee is doing that one particular thing. They don't like it. They bring it up, I don't like that this devotee is doing that, then it won't fly. But if I make it that, no, nobody in this position can do that. And but others who are doing it, they do it fine. But this one doesn't, but I'm trying to get that one. You do that generic, and then I can push through that. I get that, because then I present it, it sounds bad. Then I get that one point, but then I destroy the good, nice things that everybody else is doing. So it's a matter of, I won't feel good unless everybody else is doing. It's like or the element is like, you sit down to eat and, you know, like that, and you order one thing, they order another, then why do you order that? You know, it's kind of like, are you getting something I'm not getting? You know, so if you order what I eat, then I know what experience you're getting, so I know. And so it's either what you're getting is worse than what I'm eating, and that could be better, or it's better than what I, and I'll feel bad. You know, so the arithmetic is basically like that. If everybody else is not doing it, then it basically is. It's personal enemy. You know, which is sad, because it's not that you don't have many qualified devotees who are distracted by this. You know, they have qualifications at so many levels.
But the one person that's preaching has the issue.
Yeah, that's the point. So it's sad. Yeah. No, if you go back, the originals, you could discuss philosophy with them. We have. And they understand it, but then their point is, well, the rest is kind of thinking like that. So then they go on with their thing. But then they died out, and then this nouveau ritual came up, which is purely sentimental. The original ones, it was basically purely philosophical. I mean, it had, you know, of course, these strange elements, but if you just gave things philosophically, it wasn't on a letter; it was on books. All the arguments were on the books. The letter didn't even come into it. That work started by some weird old lawyer, I think.
Especially before breakfast.
Oh, it's already after 9. Okay, well, time to stop.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We gained half a page, but only one sentence on that half a page. Like that. So that means, well, we have